saw the Lord here in chapter 20. And our Savior's first command to them post-resurrection is the same command that he's given to us, and that is we are to be sent into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. So notice we'll just look at verses 21 through 23 this evening of John chapter 20, where we left off. And then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they remit it unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." So send I you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts tonight. We thank you for the privilege of looking into the word together. May the Holy Spirit speak to each of us. May we have a blessed prayer time later on. And we love you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus would often pronounce peace on the disciples because they were going to need the peace of God with what they were going to face in planting the church and preaching the gospel and facing all of the persecution that they were going to face. But Christ had promised this many times, as we even saw in John, look at 14:27, and he promises it to us as well, that we can live in the peace of God. Praise the Lord. It's even part of the fruit of the Spirit we read in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So peace is there as well. But notice John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This was in the upper room, just prior to going to the garden. And Jesus says, "I'm giving you my peace. Not as the world gives, I'm giving you my peace. And therefore, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid." Now, they did let their heart be troubled, and they did let it be afraid after the death of Christ. And then go to John 16:33. We'll see again in the upper room. He's still preparing his disciples for Calvary and for his ascension. And he says here in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So again, he's preparing them for their ministry, and he says, you are going to face tribulation in the world. You are going to have troubles, but I give you peace. And we can have peace in the midst of troubles because we have the Lord. And that's Philippians 4:6. We'll turn there quickly. This is promised to every believer who will commit all burdens and trials unto the Lord. And if we have an absence of peace, it's because we are holding on to something we shouldn't be holding on to. We should be giving it to Him. Notice he says, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So now that word careful means anxious. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't hold on to anything. Don't be stressed out about anything, he says. And look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is a promise from our Savior to us that if we will give Him all of our burdens, He will give us this peace that passes all understanding. And so He starts off, He's preparing the disciples for their great mission. And he says, the first thing, you guys need the peace of God. Peace unto you. And then in verse 21 of John 20, he says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so he's referring back to why he came to the earth. And it was for us. Jesus was the first missionary. Amen? He was sent from the Father to reach out to us. And every missionary since has just been following his example of being sent to tell others about Christ. But the Father sent the Son. As he says here, "My Father hath sent me." Go to John 3:17 and we'll see where the Bible makes it very clear that the Father sent the Son. Notice John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus came to save. Go to 1 John chapter 4, and we will see again that the Father sent the Son to us that we might be saved. Notice 1 John 4, 9 and 10 and 14. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So just in that little passage, we see that He was sent that we might have life. He was sent to be the propitiation, which is the satisfaction of God's judgment. And He was sent to be the Savior. Jesus was sent by the Father to rescue us from our sin condition. Hallelujah. And so in referring to that, He says, I give you peace. I'm reminding you that you have the peace of God available. Then He says, God sent me to the earth to rescue man. As He did that, as the Father has sent me, John 20:21, even so send I you. The Father sent me, now I'm sending you. And this is to all of us, isn't it? This is the Gospel of John version of what we call the Great Commission. It's in all four Gospels. It's in different forms in each Gospel, but it's there every time, isn't it? Matthew 28, most of us know, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And you get to Mark, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the Gospel to every creature. And then in Luke chapter 24, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. So at the end of each of the four Gospels, we have Christ sending us. So send I you. So I come to give you peace. And as the Father has sent me, I send you. And then He provides the power to carry out what He's calling them and us to do. We have the same peace available through the same Holy Spirit. Up to this point, the Holy Spirit did not indwell man permanently. We know that didn't start until the day of Pentecost. But look what it says in verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm sending you, but you can't accomplish what I'm sending you to do without power. And that power comes from God Himself. In the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. But Jesus here, again, asserting His deity by just breathing on them and giving them none other than the presence of God in their lives. Only God could have that power. You know, in Job, he said, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. But He breathed on them and said, receive ye. Now, he had predicted that they would. If you go to John 15:26, we'll see this. Jesus many times had told them that He would send the Holy Ghost. John 15:26, when the Comforter has come, notice what Jesus says here, whom I will send. He's saying, I will personally send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And then the next chapter over, John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him. So in both of those verses, Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send the Holy Ghost. He's saying to the disciples, I'm now sending you preach the gospel into all the world, just as the Father sent me to bring the gospel and to bring salvation to man, now I'm sending you. And as I promised, I'm also sending you with the Holy Ghost, because you can't do it without God's power. But God's power, really for us, as God's children, we possess the most amazing power in the universe, if you think about it, and that is the power to see a soul saved from hell. Now, we can't save anybody, but the gospel can. And that's what he's talking about in verse 23. So look at Romans 1:16, where God talks about this power. And so what Jesus is saying is, God sent me with all this power, all this authority to the earth to die in man's place, rise again, to offer him eternal life. Now I'm sending you, but if I'm going to send you, you need power. You need peace and you need power. And that power comes from, number one, the Holy Ghost, the presence of God in our lives, right? Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But number two, the power of the gospel itself. Notice Romans 1:16, what Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. There it is, the power. So what Jesus is saying is, we have all the power we need to see people's sins either retained or remitted. It's up to them, isn't it? They can hear the beautiful, wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, and they can reject it, and their sins will be retained. Or they can accept it and their sins will be remitted. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you all power. And didn't he say that in Matthew 28? All power is given unto me. Let's look at that, Matthew chapter 28. So it's all about power here. The disciples have finally accepted the resurrection. They're now seeing the physical Jesus Christ risen from the dead in his glorified body. He came to them where they were hiding out, everyone but Thomas, who we'll talk about next week. And he doesn't mince words. I'm giving you peace and I'm giving you power. But I want you to go. Just like the Father sent me, now I'm sending you, because I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm sending you, but let me give you some power. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he gave them none other than the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, Matthew 28, 18, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. What's he referring to? He's referring back to verse 18, which says, I've been given all power. And since I have all power, now I want you to go and teach all nations and baptize them. So he stands before them and says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let me give you the power. And he breathed on them and they gave them the Holy Ghost. And you have now the power of the gospel, which can rescue a living soul from the punishment of hell. Now that's a lot of power, isn't it? That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as Paul said in Romans 1:16. So as my Father hath sent me, he said, so send I you. And that's how it's worked for 2,000 years. We're sitting here tonight because someone told us about Jesus. And someone told them, and someone told them, and it's worked that way. And it will keep working that way until he comes to take us. So send I you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this.